The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. We are experiencing the annular solar eclipse with you on the corner here at the Triad Center, and that's why you can hear the fire truck that is going by. And this is a pretty spectacular event, a pretty rare event for us to see here along the Wasatch Front. We just wanted to experience with you while taking your calls and questions as well. We'll get back to your calls and questions in just a minute, but let's talk just for a second about the eclipse as we're experiencing it, Ton. So a few minutes ago, I was just seeing a very slight sliver of the sun covered, but now it almost looks like somebody took a giant bite out of my cookie.
It does, and I probably look a little foolish with my glasses here.
Oh,
but
we both do. It's true.
Yeah, it's looking like you took a bite out of a cookie right now, and it's just slowly progressing, and I don't know, fascinating.
Yeah, it is pretty fascinating, and we're getting pretty excited here. We've got folks joining us because we are giving out solar viewing glasses while they last. We have about, 80 pairs of glasses, so quite a few if you'd like to come join us here on the corner of Triad, where we have a really nice view of what's happening. But we also wanted to hear from Patrick Wiggins, who is NASA's ambassador to Utah, and he spoke with Jeff Kaplan yesterday because we wanted to kind of get a timeline. As you look to the east, here's kind of a timeline of what you're going to see.
Basically, it runs between about 9 and noon with the maximum eclipse, which, again, from up here will not be the ring of fire. It'll just look like somebody took a big bite out of the sun, and that's going to be around 10:30-ish or thereabouts. So go south if you can. You will definitely see one from up here, but it just won't be that ring of fire. But in any case, wear your eclipse glasses. No part of this eclipse is safe to look at without eye protection.
Okay, and then just of interest for our greenhouse fans, Patrick says, take a look at the leaves on the trees.
Basically, you look at the shadow of a tree with all the leaves on it, or a colander. I think those are really nice. And you cannot cast a round circle shadow, if you will, during an eclipse. So as the eclipse is getting deeper and deeper, all of those little holes that you're projecting on the ground are going to get smaller and smaller.
So just a note of interest for our greenhouse listeners, Ton. So what do you think? We're out here on the corner. It's warming up. If you do come, you're still going to want to bring a sweatshirt. But yeah, it's pretty pleasant at this point.
It is. And that fortunately, it's a little bit cloudy, but we can still see the sun through it if the clouds are obscuring the sun a bit. And it's just a beautiful morning. I mean, not only that, we've got trees with leaves changing color, still a lot of beautiful flowers out, and so it's just a gorgeous day.
Pretty spectacular. Let's get back to our listeners' questions and calls. Next listener wanted to know, can you educate them on how to get a Christmas cactus to bloom?
Yes. The Christmas cactus need either 12 to 14 hours of darkness a night for about 8 to 12 weeks, or as temperatures cool down, you need to put them near a cold window. So if you have a big deck with a deck door on there with a sliding glass, that's a perfect location. Leave the curtains open, get it within 3 or 4 inches of the edge of the window, and leave it there. And what you'll see are blossoms or bloom buds start to form on the Christmas cactus on the side nearest the window. You would then turn that around very carefully and rotate it so that the other side gets the buds too. And so the Christmas cactus will bloom sometime mid-November through to Christmas time. There's the Thanksgiving cactus that blooms a little sooner, and then Easter cactus, which is more of a late February into early May. Some of the hybrids will actually bloom all winter.
All right, back to our phone line. Stephen is on the line in North Ogden. Good morning, Stephen. What was your question?
The internet, the website for a fertilizer company suggests winterizer fertilizer for shrubs. I'm wondering if they're just selling up or if it would be a good idea to put winterizer fertilizer on my burning bushes.
No, it wouldn't. You want those to go dormant. If we lived in Southern California or even St. George, to where the things don't go quite as dormant because of the warmer weather, you would be okay. But because of our cold winter temperatures, we want our plants completely dormant. And so those recommendations are for areas that are consistently above 55 daily during the winter.
Okay, I appreciate that. But you do recommend it for the lawn, true?
Yes, do a winterizer for the lawn. It benefits the lawn greatly. The grass will absorb the nutrients and store them over the winter, and it will green up sooner in the spring.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, is it too late to move the amaryllis into a dark spot for blossoms at Christmas?
It's going to be a little iffy. That should have gone in.
It may not make it till Christmas, but it'll make it for later.
It will. And so you can have it blooming after Christmas, but it requires anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. And so you stop watering it and let the leaves dry down and then store it in a dark place around 55 to 60 degrees for anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. Keep an eye on the bulb, and if you see a new leaf forming from the top of it, then bring it out. But after 12 weeks, if you don't see a flower, bring it out and start watering it, and it will reform those the leaves and hopefully flower.
All right. Blaine is on the line in Orem. Good morning, Blaine. What was your question this morning?
Yes, we purchased this property in the spring, and we've maintained the lawn all summer, sprinkler and mowing. About a week ago, there appeared in the lawn what I called holes. From the second story, it looked like there are holes all over in the lawn. When I get down to examine it, I find a little what I call a trench. It's a half inch wide, half inch deep, and about 3 or 4 inches long. And I don't see a hole on either side of that trench. I'm wondering what that might be.
It sounds like maybe animal damage from something or some things digging for insects or grubs in the lawn. If there's a trench dug, it sounds like that might be paws with claws on there that are digging that up.
Okay. So it might be, it would not be a mole because I don't see any holes.
No, and if you're not seeing actual tunneling, I think either raccoons, skunks, or something similar is coming in and digging up insects during the night.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thanks so much for your call. Just a similar question before we break, Ton. This person says, what can I put on my lawn in the fall to discourage voles from nesting over winter? Is there anything?
No, they need to get rid of all the weeds surrounding the yard if there are. And if the yard's in a rural area, have 10 feet of bare ground between your yard and the weeds in the surrounding field. They don't like crossing bare ground as much because they're afraid a hawk or a cat will get them. The only other thing that I know to do is to start actively baiting them. You can get bait boxes, or you can get PVC pipe that's about 3 feet wide, stake it down and put the bait inside the pipe, and stake it down securely enough so the animals or kids have a hard time getting it up, and you can put those surrounding your yard. But there's not anything that's going to keep them 100% out, but you can reduce the numbers. And late fall, when things are brown but snow hasn't fallen yet, is the ideal time to do that. If you've had problems, wrap the trees with wire mesh. You may have to go under the soil a little bit and bring that up to keep them from chewing on your tree trunks. And you have to do that 2 or 3 feet high in case you get a lot of snow.
KSL Greenhouse joining you from the corner of the Triad Center. We do have solar viewing glasses for you watching this annular solar eclipse that is underway. And it is interesting that we start to see the sun disappear from the top, Ton.
Yeah, not having seen many of these, you don't know what side it's going to disappear from, but it's looking more and more like a partial moon.
It is.
A crescent moon.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be seeing that as well. And again, you can come get some viewing glasses, enjoy the solar eclipse with us. Phone lines are open, though. We're taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse in our solar eclipse viewing episode of the Greenhouse Show. Ton, I'm looking at the sun, and right now it's starting to look more like, instead of a bite out of a cookie, more like a big fat pumpkin smile, you know, that you do on the jack-o'-lantern.
Yes.
Closer to that at this point in time.
Yes. Dave had a good dad joke from YouTube. Dave's running our board, and thank him for that. But people are commenting, and one of them put, Chuck Norris stared at the sun and burned a hole through it with his eyes.
Ooh, ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, we are joining you this
morning.
People
are saying, keep your day job. And
from outside the Triad Center, we are on the corner. People are stopping by, picking up their solar eclipse glasses. You can sit out here and view it with us, or you can just stop by the corner and Lee will run you out a couple of pairs of glasses so you can enjoy the solar eclipse this morning. Let's go back to our questions from our listeners this morning. Next listener asking, they say they got way behind on their weeding this summer. Is there anything they can do to kill the seeds from sprouting in the spring without damaging the overall soil composition in their vegetable garden?
Well, so they're wanting to prevent things from germinating. What I would do is clean up all the weeds carefully this fall so that there's no seed head, so they don't increase the seed bank of weeds in the soil. They could, if they're trying to avoid conventional chemicals and want to keep things organic, what I would recommend doing is maybe trying, corn gluten meal. It's a natural fertilizer, but it does have some pre-emergent properties if they're trying to keep it that way, and that won't damage their soil at all. But short of using some sort of pre-emergent after the garden is in and staying on top of the weeding, using mulch is another great thing to do. So after your garden planted and seeds up, mulch it with 3 inches of grass clippings or bark chips or something. That can work too.
Good job not getting distracted as we enjoy the solar eclipse along with the street cleaner on the corner here.
Yes, did we give him some glasses?
We did.
Oh, nice.
We did. He should be able to enjoy the solar eclipse while he's working
yes.
this morning. That's what we are doing. Nexus Neuroton is asking, what are the pros and cons of a sedge lawn replacing turf grass?
Here, I don't think it's a possibility because it's probably going to require more water than your lawn would because sedges are plants that require moist soil all the time. Mm-hmm. And so when we see sedges in lawn, it's because the soil is compacted and water collects there. And so it's not something I would encourage people to do. There are several turf grass species they could try out if they live in Salt Lake or Utah counties. They can, in the spring, probably find some water-wise turf grass that requires 30% less water than standard bluegrass. They could go in with buffalo grass, which requires about 50% of the water. It's only green from mid-May to mid-October, or mid-September. But a sedge lawn for an arid climate is not something I would do.
All right. While we have just a minute here before the top of the hour news, I did want to mention that our wonderful producer, Michelle, has now put out the latest video that we recorded out at the USU Demonstration Gardens. And this one is on trellises and vines that you can plant that are climbing vines. And it is a really cool video. And Sheridan Hansen out there at the Botanical Gardens does such a great job with experimental things and giving people, you know, such great ideas on how to better grow things.
Yeah, I don't know if she covered it because I had a delayed flight when I was supposed to be filming with you. But I actually thought about making moonflower our plant of the week this week.
Oh, can we do that?
Just because of the eclipse.
Week?
We sure can. It's a vine that blooms at night with really fragrant flowers. It's an annual. But yeah, we can cover that next week.
So what basically she has done is like planted cucumbers on the vine. So everything in that family that will grow on the vine. And it's really interesting to see how she's gotten them to stay on the vine. And it's really quite beautiful as well, kind of adding to the whole garden experience.
Yeah, it really does. And people oftentimes don't consider growing cucumbers on a trellis.
No.
Because we just run them on the ground. And
right.
It's a great idea to do.
All right, you can find that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, also on the KSL Greenhouse YouTube channel. We'll be back following the news.